I am delighted to introduce to you the Chief Executive Officer of GMT Corporation, Mr. Simon Angove. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about GMT, what you guys are out there doing for folks.
Sure, happy to. GMT is a provider of workforce management software. Basically, we help banks and contact centers determine the exact number of people they need in their bank branches and their contact centers. So the idea being that you don't want too few agents on the phones or too few tellers in the bank branch when customers come in and you keep them waiting. But at the same time, you don't want so many that you've got idle capacity, wasted payroll dollars. So it's all about getting customer service right while at the same time saving money.
Boy, I wish you'd take that same service to the grocery stores. Could you maybe have Publix or Kroger as a client? They never seem to have enough of the right people in the lines when I'm ready to check out.
Exactly, and that's exactly the problem that we're solving. We predict how many customers are going to walk into a branch, how many are going to call into the call center, and we make sure that you've got the right number of people there to serve customers.
Well, the real value there to me is using Stone's example of the Publix is how it'd be great if it could be real time. How can you do the predictive element of this so that it almost is real time?
Exactly. So there's really two things we do. One, first of all, is we look at history. So we'll look at all the calls that happened in the past, all the bank transactions that happened in the past, and we use some very clever science to predict how many are going to happen in the future. And based on that, we tell you how many agents you need and how many tellers you need. Then in real time, we're able to monitor the calls that are coming in and to be able to make adjustments on the fly. So if you know that in the next hour you haven't got quite enough agents, you can always move people around to ensure that you maintain the service level.
And so is this a brand new concept, or is this something that demand is growing for more and more every year? I mean, I learned just how much I don't know every time we do one of these shows. This whole thing never even occurred to me that there would be a service that actually predicted this kind of stuff for you. Is the demand growing?
Yeah, demand is absolutely growing. The technology's been around for about 10 years. We've been going over 10 years now. But certainly the space has exploded over the last 3 years. I think one of the catalysts has been the bad economy. You know, banks, contact centers out there are looking for ways to be more efficient. You know, so where can they have a leaner workforce? But at the same time, how do they do that without compromising customer service? So it's helping really people do more with less. And the economy's been, you know, been a great weapon for us, frankly, in growing our business.
What happens when the economy gets good again and organizations can expand? Is there still a need and a value for what you do?
Absolutely. So, you know, clearly when times are bad, people are looking for ways to save money while protecting service. When times are good, people are looking to get a competitive edge and deliver even better customer service. So people need to know how many folks they need in their contact centers and their branches in good times and bad times.
Well, you know, Todd and I identified a definite need in the world of grocery. But is there any specific industry market like that or geo that where there's been more demand than another or you see growing?
Sure. I think one of the things that we've been smart about in this economy is, it's a British expression, but fishing where the fish are, you know, and to be very, very tactical in the markets that we focus on. So in the banking space, most of the large retail banks now are using this kind of software, but there are many credit unions and community banks that aren't, and there are over 8,000 of those. So we've seen a hell of a lot of interest from credit unions and community banks in North America. Also, on our contact center business, we see a lot of growth from sectors like healthcare, outsourcers, and the education space. And if you think about those three segments, outsourcing, healthcare, education, they're all countercyclical to the economy. They're all growth industries. So they are looking for ways to invest in technology, even in these downtimes.
So tell us a little bit more about the actual people behind GMT. How many employees do you got? You mentioned a call center just a second ago. I mean, tell us how you guys are staffed up.
Okay, so we've got around about 60 people today. Most of those are focused here in Atlanta. We have a one-roof development philosophy, so most of our research and development is here in Atlanta. But we do now have a growing international presence. About 20% of our business is overseas. Initially, we focused on the English-speaking countries, so we have customers now in the UK, in South Africa, and in Australia and New Zealand. And this year, we are going to be expanding over the channel into continental Europe, but also the Middle East and India as well.
So this is going to be a non-issue after today. You've made it to the big time. You're on the High Velocity Radio Show. The phone's going to ring off the hook. But prior to today, how did you get the word out? How did you go to market? How did you tell your story?
Well, to start with, it was relatively easy because we were really focused on the very large banks. So you're focused on the top 25 banks. You know who the executives are in those banks. It's simply a matter of picking up the phone and getting an audience and going from there. One thing I think we did very, very well early on was to really look after those customers extremely well. We have a 99% customer retention rate in North America, and we're best in class in Net Promoter. We score in the top 10% of all business-to-business software companies in North America. And frankly, from there, you know, we had the word-of-mouth marketing, which is the best marketing that you can get. Now, as we start to go after more small, mid-sized organizations, I mentioned 8,000 credit unions in North America, clearly it's a lot harder to go door-to-door. So there we're deploying more e-marketing strategies, so making good use of email marketing, of the web, of search engines, but also increasingly relying on partners as well who have a lot of feet on the street and working with them to get those doors open.
Well, you know, I saw on your website that you boast quite a few partners. What kinds of things do you need partners for? When and where do you pull them in, and what's the advantage to the client?
Sure. Well, we don't go it alone. At the end of the day, we recognize that what partners bring to the table are complementary solutions, as well as much more distribution strength, you know, those feet on the street who can open doors. So our focus really at the core is on great technology and great customer service. And we rely on our partners to complement that service, but also to provide more sales and marketing power.
The technology that you're using, is that something that you guys developed, or are you using other products on the market?
No, it's all our own technology. So we've coded every bit of it top to bottom, and it's certainly part of our secret sauce.
So it's your own technology. Well, that's great. Now you can white label that, so you can tailor it to each individual client.
That's right. And we also actually have partners who are white labeling it as well. So they will drop workforce management into a broader suite of software and service solutions that they've got under their own brand. You know, one of the things we've also seen the economy has spurred is the growth of so-called software as a service. We're no longer a client's hosting this software on-premise, running it on their own servers, but now they're actually using us to host it in the cloud, and they are renting it over the internet on a pay-as-you-go basis. So it means they don't need any of the technology investment, any of the capital dollars up front. They can just flick a switch and off they go.
So can you share a success story with us without compromising any proprietary details? We'd love to hear one if you have one.
Sure. I think, let me think about this neck of the woods. So down here we've got BB&T, the big bank. They've got about 1,400 branches spread amongst the southeast United States. And we started working with them a couple of years ago to deploy our software across all of their bank branches. The idea being that in their case, they really wanted to protect and grow the customer service leadership that they had in their bank branches while eliminating the overtime expense that they had. We were able to identify about $10 million in savings in the first year, and they were able to do that while improving their customer satisfaction scores in their branches. So it's a classic example of doing more with less. You know, here they were able to take out $10 million in cost while at the same time improving the service they delivered to their clients.
So tell us a little bit about your background, Simon. I don't think you've always been with GMT. What's your story? How did you get to GMT?
Well, sure. As you guys can hear, I am definitely a good old Southern boy based down here in Atlanta.
Your neighbor's the stone.
Exactly. No, I'm from London originally, but I've been living and working here in the U.S. for well over the last decade. I started my tech career in a very large company called Digital Equipment Corporation. They were the second largest computer company in the late 80s and early 90s. But I quickly left DEC and started my entrepreneurial career. My first entrepreneurial venture was an application service provider called A Services based down in Houston. We launched that, grew that. I then moved on to another company called Brickstream based here in Atlanta, Georgia. They provide video cameras that are installed in bank branches and retail stores, and they're able to track customers anonymously and provide information such as where people go in the store, how long they take to check out, and so on. That was a venture-backed business, and it was while I was there that I met my two partners, who were the co-founders of GMT, Roger and Mike, and I came on board with a mission to really put the company on a growth footing, and that's where I've been for the last 5 years. So even though I started my tech career in a big company, I'm really a small and mid-size company entrepreneur. I enjoy getting on board something and really growing it and taking it to the next level.
Well, the other two human interest questions that we generally ask for good old Southerners like you, who's your NASCAR driver and what kind of music do you listen to, country or Western?
Okay, well, actually, I follow Formula One, which is real driving.
Imagine that.
So I'm excited to see that they're bringing Formula One to Austin, Texas in 2012. So I'll make sure I get down there for that.
So how does a bank exec, or when does a bank exec know that maybe they ought to talk to Simon or someone on your staff, and what kinds of questions should they be asking to determine if this is a path that they should pursue?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is clearly every bank exec right now is being held accountable for reducing cost and really protecting earnings. It's no secret that banks are in a bit of a state right now. You know, anyone who picks up any of the mainstream dailies can see that. So banks already are thinking about, you know, where are some areas where I can save money, number one. And clearly, if you look at most banking enterprises, most of their expense is in the payroll in the branch network. A third of their payroll actually is related to tellers alone. So that's a big cost item that they could look at doing something with. I think the second is if they're challenged with customer service, if they see that a lot of the customer complaints that are coming into the building are because of long wait times in the bank branches, for example, or the wrong kinds of people being available, then they know they've got a challenge with how they're staffing their bank branches. So again, you know, customer service or expense related issues, this is a great solution to solve some of those problems.
Expand the list of customer service problems. Now, we've talked about the bank tellers and all that. I hate it when I make a telephone call to get tech support and they say, "You are number 47 in line. You may be holding for 43 minutes." Is there a way you can serve organizations like that so that they, at peak times when there's a lot of call volume, they can adjust that?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's the heart of the problem, that it's not just that you don't have enough agents, period, on the phones at all different times of the day. So we actually do our scheduling in 15-minute increments throughout the day. So as the call volumes go up and down throughout the day, we are making sure that your staffing goes up and down throughout the day. But it's also making sure that each one of your groups, so if you've got tech support, if you've got product, if you've got new sales, whatever the group is, you need to make sure that each of those departments is properly staffed.
So where can our listeners learn more about GMT Corporation, get in touch with you guys, and have this conversation and think this idea through a little bit?
I think the best way to do it is to go online and visit us at www.gmt.com, and you can get hold of us that way.
Well, before we let you go, Simon, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and really, more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I guess the question is, which one should I pick?
We know Kevin's over there holding up 10 fingers. I think he's got an idea of one or two.
Like I think you know, at the end of the day, it's about people. Particularly in a software company, the backbone of your business are your people, and it's not just about having enough people to do the job. It's about having good people and the right people on the bus. And if I think back to my first startup, which was A Services in Houston in the late 90s, before we'd even signed a single customer, we'd hired over 200 people in the business. I mean, I remember people walking into my door, and I'd sit down for a 5-minute job interview, and if they could spell their name, they were hired. You know, sure, this was the dot-com days, and the Kool-Aid tasted really good, but it certainly taught me the importance of paying a lot of attention to the hiring process and making sure that you get really good people on the bus.